The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Where the city lights don't shine, I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
Good evening, this is Judge Rusty Johnston, and this is Armed Alabama. I have got the show alone tonight. Everybody is out traveling, sick, or whatever, but we're going to have a great time tonight. It's April 30th, 2019. Tomorrow, International Communist / Socialist Holiday, May Day. So watch out for the crazies out there. I'm sure that all the various socialist groups that have forgotten that socialism / communism is responsible for the deaths of 150 million people, people like Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, he took his honeymoon in Moscow. How strange. But the Armed Alabama Show is Alabama's only firearms-based radio FM talk show in the state. We've had a great year. We talk about pistols, revolvers, shotguns, concealed carry, ammunition, training, and attacks on our God-given rights to protect ourselves and our family. Remember, you can visit our website at www.armedalabama.com, where you can listen right now, or you can also listen on the FM Talk 106.5 website. That's www.fmtalk106.5.com. You can also go to Facebook at Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And we're going to have some show and tell in a minute, so you might want to go to Facebook. If that's available, you can watch it later on, at least for the time being. I think pretty soon they're going to put off all of our Second Amendment people. But for the time being, that we are on there. If any of y'all been following the news this week, really last weekend, the NRA looks like it's in a fair amount of trouble, and I've been reluctant to say this even though I've known it for years. Most of it is their own doing. According to a couple of books I read, Wayne LaPierre, who is the, they call it executive director, I think that's right. But anyway, he's been there 26 years, I think, and he didn't even know how to shoot a gun when they hired him. He was a lobbyist, but he got his tentacles in and also got the tentacles in. He hired an advertising agency out of Oklahoma who's been there almost 35 years. And anytime I've noticed that you have a board of directors, board of trustees, whatever you call them, that's larger than, let's say, about 20, that means the staff is running the organization. NRA's board is 75 members. And by the way, I'm a life member, I'm an NRA instructor, so, you know, I hope I've earned that right to criticize. But they lost money last year, which is amazing. They paid their advertising firm 10% of their income, which is another thing amazing. And then, you know, I was hoping they would have a shakeup in the leadership, but Oliver North was attempting to do that. Instead of that, he was shown the door pretty quickly. But anyway, if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about anything related to firearms, politics related to firearms, call us here at the FM Talk 106.5 station. That is area code 251-343-0106. I want to thank my good friend, Steve Moore, who is a personal injury lawyer here in town. If you got hurt, personal injury means you get hurt and you think it's somebody's fault, go see him. He's a good lawyer. Went to law school with me. That's all he does. He's downtown on 8 North Dearborn Street. That's between Dolphin Street and St. Francis. Or you could look him up on the web at www.morelawfirm-al.com. He is a good guy, and tell him that you heard about it here on Armed Alabama. And, of course, no representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. Now, I've got a book giveaway I'm going to go ahead and start off with. A Mobile author who's a friend of a lot of members of the show, including me, Paul Bruschi, wrote a book. It came out maybe about 6 months ago, The Last Siege, the Mobile, Alabama campaign. And by the way, Mobile, Alabama would have just never really surrendered. It was an open city that the Yankees came in. But anybody, it's a great, great book. Anybody that can answer this question will win this book, and we'll mail it to them. The Confederate States of America had two capitals during its existence. If you can name one of them, you can get a copy of The Last Siege by Paul Bruschi. And just call us here, 251-343-0106. It looks like we may have a caller. We have no... Are we ready, Phil?
Hello?
We're like Art Bell. No screeners tonight. So, west of the Rockies, you're on there. Hey, how are you?
This is Peter from Pensacola.
Hey, it's been a long time. I've been worried about you. You hadn't called in a while. Well, do you want to answer the book question, or you want to talk about guns, or you want to do both?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the question because that's when I was calling.
Well, I'll give you the question because I've got two books to give away. During its brief existence, the Confederate States of America had two capitals. Name one of them, and you get The Last Siege of the Mobile, Alabama Campaign, 1865.
Well, I believe one of the capitals was, if it wasn't New Orleans, it was, I think, Biloxi.
Wrong. Let's talk about what you wanted to call. It's all about. I tell you who would argue with you about New Orleans is, what's the guy that used to be with Newsweek? He's an author, and he was the one leading the crusade to take down the Confederate monuments. He said New Orleans had nothing to do with the war between the states. Pierre Beauregard wasn't from New Orleans, and Admiral Farragut didn't take the city. So I'll think of that guy's name in a minute. He was terrible. What do you think about the NRA troubles?
I'm glad you mentioned that. The NRA, like any other organization, is a living entity.
Yep.
And the thing about any entity, first thing they have to do, they look to survive. They look what's in their best interest. If you have a problem with the NRA, the best way to change it is from within as a membership.
Absolutely.
If looking in, just whining and complaining, that means absolutely nothing.
That's
but the
right.
Person with the card.
And when you're a member, write your member of the board of directors and complain.
That's right.
No question
and
about
if
it.
You become a life member so you can vote. If you don't have that $1,500 all at once, and that's a big chunk of change, the NRA does do the bit where you can pay a discounted amount.
Yeah, and you can pay it off over, 5 years or something like that?
Pay it on time.
Yeah, you can do that, and you get to vote. And the vote is, I won't say it's the only thing that matters, but it matters a lot. And there's some real good people on that board. But as I mentioned earlier, you get a 75-member board. It's the staff that's running the organization. But we don't want to give up on them. We want to put them on a diet and put them on an exercise routine so they'll be ready.
You know, you've got to have a revolution every once in a while, even in The Godfather.
Just like Jefferson. Jefferson said, the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered with the blood of tyrants every 20 years.
And that's right.
A lot of truth to that.
That's right. We had revolution there before with Neil Knox.
There you go.
So it's time. Correction is never a truly bad thing. It may be a little painful, but that's okay. We need it.
That's right. No question about it.
No other organization. If you take all of the others together, not one of them has the clout of one National Rifle Association.
Amen. Thank you. We're up against the break. Give us a holler next week.
Not a problem.
Thank you. See you. Got a break right ahead. We'll see you back on the other side with more of Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5. Remember our number, 251-343-0106, or watch us on Facebook, as we're going to have a show and tell in just a moment. And that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. That's on Facebook Live right now.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
There's Johnny, Jack Nicholson, and that's one instance where you can shoot through a door if somebody's chopping through, planning on killing you, and they're saying it. All right, we had someone that won the Last Siege. We got another book, Last Siege book, to give away, but I got to have a new question. And y'all call in. We can't monitor Facebook. We're short with people, but another War Between the States Civil War question. The last question, obviously, was either Montgomery or Richmond. But this question is, there was a series of Southern politicians in the 5 to 10 years before the war who were called the Fire Eaters, who went around advocating Southern secession. And there were really about six well-known ones, but I'll give you credit for any of them. And can you name any of the Southern Fire Eaters, who were the politicians, some elected, some not, who advocated Southern secession? If you can, we got some on hold. Let's see. Hang up if you don't know, or if you want to talk about another question. Let's see. You're on the air, Armed Alabama.
Yeah, I was calling about the NRA. I had not heard that they were in trouble, but I don't pay too much attention to the news anymore anyway.
You know what it reminds me of? A lot of business, a lot of charities. And I saw one of the people that was founder of Greenpeace. He's a very big nuclear power advocate now. He says most of the stuff Greenpeace pushes are lies just to raise money. The Southern Poverty Law Center is another example. Some of these groups start off, you know, good intentions, but they become bureaucracies just concerned about raising money. And I'm afraid we got a lot of that going on.
Well, that was one of the issues I had when I signed up with. I've been a member of NRA for many, many years, but the problem I had was that I would send the money and
Let me guess, they'd send you back more mail.
All those kinds of things.
They'd send you a ton of mail, wouldn't they?
Then the next thing that would happen would be they'd send me out a bunch of bills on other stuff that I had no interest in at all.
Well, in fairness to them, they have a opt-out now where you can say, don't send me anything, and they won't. They'll send you, if you want the magazine, or you can get that electronically. But they've gotten better about that. That was really irritating people. They'd send their $10 or $15 donation a year in, and then they'd get just blanketed with paperwork, you know. So
every outfit in the country seemed to be trying to sell something with the NRA attached to it, and it was just aggravating.
Well, you got another good point. They're more interested in selling trinkets, you know, hats, belts, you name it. And there's their advertising agency told them, oh, you can make a dollar off every one of these you sell. Well, there's just something, it's a little sleazy about that, I think.
Yeah, there really was.
They need to get back to basics. I think that's the key. So don't give up on them. Maybe we can straighten them out.
Well, I had the answer to the first question, but I don't have the answer to the second one.
Well, if you think about it and know what it is, call us back.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
You calling. Thank you.
And appreciate your program very much.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Our next caller, who I can't see because we're on the screen here. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the line. Do you want to talk or do you want to answer the question? Hello? Extinguish your radio. All right. You're on there.
Cindy.
Hey there.
Hey. Was one of them William Lowenzansi?
William Lowenzansi, you got it. And I was actually going to originally say that Witchfire Eater was from Alabama. And I thought, well, that's too tough. But you're right. You win. We're going to put my wife on the line with you when I hang up with you in just a second. So don't hang up. But I want to tell you, try to find, you can find them, go to Google Books. You can get a PDF. Try to find William Lowenzansi's speech in New York City. And I think it was October 1860 on behalf of John C. Breckinridge. It was just wonderful. You hear somebody shout from the crowd, and he'd say, "Sir, have you got something wrong with your mind?" And they say he was one of the greatest orators in history. Of course, all we know is what we read, so we really don't know that. But you got it, and you have won The Last Siege, the Mobile Campaign, Alabama, 1865, by Paul Brewski. And if you'd hold on, we'll get your name and address, all right? Yeah, William Lowenzansi, I'll give you the other, William Lowenzansi, Lawrence M. Kitt, K-E-I-T-T, John A. Quitman, interestingly enough, if you're familiar with Clark County, Mississippi, the county seat is Quitman, Mississippi, named after him. He actually died before the war. Robert Rhett, who I think was from South Carolina, his name was originally, I believe, Smith, but, you know, Rhett sounds a little more southern, I guess, so he changed his name. Edmund Ruffin, now I've quoted him before. He's the one that committed suicide after the Yankees won, and he said, I can't stand the Yankee subjugation and the vile Yankee race. I get the whole speech. Lewis Wigfall, and I think I got him there. Kitt, Quitman, Rhett, Ruffin, Wigfall, and Yancey. But they're all kind of interesting people. But that's when, you know, people got their news from stump speakers. There wasn't a radio, TV. There were a lot of newspapers. They were all partisan. But you, without a microphone, you had to learn to be a good speaker. So do we have somebody on, Phil? All right, you're on the air. I'm afraid the books are gone, but if you want to talk guns, we're here for you.
That's too bad. I was going to say Rick. No. The first Louisiana Volunteers, the first use of black troops in the Civil War?
Yeah. Well, Louisiana wasn't even involved in the Civil War. I'm trying to think of that idiot's name. He used to be with Newsweek, and he's, you know, just he's one of these so-called historians that other people write books for him, you know, and they have their name on it. But when all that controversy in New Orleans, he said, "I don't know why there's controversy. We didn't even have anything to do with it." I thought, he is really crazy. But Louisiana, I think it seceded before Alabama did. I'm not certain, but I think it did.
And I think that was the last battle.
Yeah, and you had, of course, at the time, you had Pierre Beauregard was actually at West Point. And they asked him to leave. I think he was the superintendent for about a week. And they asked him to leave, so he went back. And by the time he got back to Louisiana, they had seceded. So that was kind of a crazy time. But this would be, you know, the end was winding down. Right now, the troops that were in Mobile, the Confederate troops, were actually between Meridian and Citronelle. And then Zachary Taylor's son, General Richard Taylor, negotiated the surrender at Citronelle. I think that was on the 5th or 8th, something like that. But say a time. By the way, you know, since I've got you on there, that it's never mentioned. You can read a book called Sick from Freedom is one of them, that between 15 and they don't know any exact number, 15 and 25% of the former slaves died either of malnutrition or disease in the 5 years after the war ended.
Yeah.
Now, that's a million people if it's 25%. And it's just never mentioned. That's when you mention the war deaths, you say normally say 750,000 or so. Add a million to that. And basically, once again, the federal government was totally incompetent. They had no idea what they were doing. They freed all these people and yet had no food, clothes, anything prepared for them. Typical. But thank you for calling in. We're running up against a break. Try us next week. I think I got a couple more books at home.
Not a problem.
All right. Take care. Bye. And have we got somebody on, Phil? Let's try to. Hey, you're on there.
This is Mike from Grand Bay.
Hey, Mike from Grand Bay. How's it going?
How's it going?
You are south of the Rockies, I guess. North of the Gulf. We only got 1 minute, if you can kind of squeeze
okay,
it into the.
I was going to say that I've looked at some reviews for a gun. It's called the Bursa BP9CC, and they say that thing is very, very good priced, and it is very, very reliable, even compared to like a Glock.
Well, listen, you're doing what you ought to do. Do the research. Just make sure you go into, you know, you're not going to a source that's set up to give them a good name. But I know a Bursa Thunder was a good gun, and they probably still sell it. So go for it and check out and see if McCoy can give you a good price on it, because you'd be surprised they can beat some of the big retailers. Up against a hard break. Really appreciate it. Listen to us down in Grand Bay, all right? All right, we have got our bottom of the hour break. This is Judge Rusty Johnston with Armed Alabama here at the studios of FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama. We're also broadcasting on Facebook Live. Listen to us or watch us there. We'll be back after the break.
Hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. A place where even squares can.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you, man.
Cool Hand Luke. This is Judge Rusty Johnston back with Armed Alabama. And let me give everybody a recoil tip. Kind of the southern man's home defense firearm is a 12-gauge shotgun. And if you're on Facebook, I'm showing a Pump Mossberg. It's a 500. It's the marine coat finish. But it looks a little odd because it's got adjustable stock. And the reason it does is that's a kick light, K-I-C-K-L-I-T-E, and it's got a spring in it, so it helps with a pretty bad recoil. And I've mentioned before, put in, use low recoil buckshot in there. It's about 20% less. If you need to kill somebody, it'll do it just as easy. Okay, this gun, when you fire it, it's going to exert about 32 to 35 foot-pounds of energy. 12-gauge shotgun, and some of that depends, obviously, on the shell, the weight of the gun. I'm also going to show you next a 9mm, which is a pistol caliber, carbine called the Beretta Storm. A bunch of nine. You can get a high-point 9mm carbine for $299. This one right here will exert 3 to 4 foot-pounds of pressure, which means the 12-gauge shotgun is 10 times the recoil. Let's put it that way. 10 times the recoil is the 12-gauge is. The 12-gauge will hold usually 5, 6, 7 rounds, depending on how you've tricked it up. The Beretta will hold 30 rounds of 9mm. So anybody in the household can use the Beretta. It's not going to – a 12-year-old girl could fire this. It's not going to scare her to death. The noise is surprisingly – I mean, you ought to always wear hearing protection, but you can't during a break-in. It will not deafen you like a 12-gauge can. And one more I'll show you. kind of a standard hunting around here is either a .30-06 or a .308 Winchester. Now, what I'm showing on Facebook is the Remington 7600, which is a pump .308 rifle, suitable for deer rifle. This will put out almost as much recoil. I think it's 30 foot-pounds. It's going to be hard to figure out because I've put a recoil stock on there. But it's got a lot of recoil, too, as opposed to a .308 semi-auto. Their recoil is going to be a lot less. So you can think about those. You can make the recoil less by putting a recoil reduction pad on. 30 years ago, they were just pieces of hard rubber and did nothing and cost you too much money. Now there's several people. One, I like being Limb Saver. You can either slip them on or grind them on. They'll take about 25% of the felt recoil off. Listen, there's no need of punishing yourself or your kids by laughing at them when they've torn up their shoulder with a shotgun that's way too hard. You can also do things like putting compensators on your guns. I'm holding one in front of the camera. And what a compensator does is let some of the energy out of the side, so to speak, of the end of the firearm, so there won't be as much recoil. And for those of you, let's say, 50 and over, I'm going to show a silver object that's not a polychoke, but it's called a Cutts compensator, C-U-T-T-S. They were on about every shotgun in the 40s. They claimed to reduce recoil by 40%. I've never tried it because every gun I've ever had that's had one, I've taken it off. But that's interesting. They were before chokes, and there's still a lot of guns that have them on there. You see the gun is painted blue like the barrel. Kind of looks like a suppressor or something like that on there. So just remember, recoil can keep otherwise people who are otherwise interested in defending themselves from doing so with a firearm because it scares them, you know, using a gun. And you can reduce recoil without making any kind of sacrifices. Another thing I'll show you is that Mossberg comes generally with a pistol grip. I'll show that on Facebook. Yeah, that shortens the gun. It doesn't make it any more effective. I broke my left wrist when I was about 8. If it was my right wrist, this would probably break it using it. No need to use that unless you just want to look cool or something. Use a recoil-absorbing stock or at least a Limb Saver grip on there. Before we get back to the phones, I want to thank McCoy Outdoor. You can get the Limb Savers there. You can get any of these guns down there. And ask them, say, listen, I don't like recoil. What do you suggest? Compared to when I bought this Beretta 10 years ago, they're probably a good 20 pistol, let's say 9mm caliber carbine. Carbine's just a short rifle. And the reason you like that is you can move around in your house if you need to and not get stuck in the doorway like you could with a full-size shotgun. So a lot less recoil, and it's the same cartridge that's going in your handgun, which one more show and tell that I promised to do. Last week we did not have a camera, so I'm showing you on Facebook what we call a lanyard, or they call a lanyard. I just adopted the term. In the old days, they were pieces of leather. Now they look like old phone cords. But a lot of military weapons had a loop where you could attach this lanyard on your semi-auto or on your revolver and then around your belt. And if you were riding a horse or, let's say, a boat and you dropped your gun during the fight, you wouldn't lose it. So they kind of get in the way for ordinary concealed carry, but they're kind of interesting to look at. Now, once again, our number here is 251-343-0106 here at Armed Alabama. I think it's interesting, too, we have a bill, I guess it's been offered, to change Alabama's constitution regarding bail. And, you know, that's been in effect for 200 years. And I've seen judges that have issued bail that I thought was way too low. The way to handle that is get rid of the judge, not change the Constitution. And you can always do things if you want to keep somebody in jail, get you a cash bond only, things like that. I would rather not change a 200-year-old Constitution. This is Alabama's bicentennial this year, 2019. then start messing with our Constitution. But we'll see. I think that would be on the ballot probably November 20, with the presidential, probably with the primaries before that. So we'll see how that goes. But a lot of things to consider when you start messing with your institutions like that. Let's remember, too, lock your doors. That's the first. Before you have buy a gun, before you get an alarm, before you do any of these fancy things, how about locking the door? I had a horrible case. I won't mention the details because they're local people. But a man was a serial rapist. Every house he attacked a woman in, he came in through an unlocked door or window. And you don't have to be, you know, Fort Knox. You can just put a decent lock on there and just lock it. Don't leave it unlocked. Don't think like we're still in the 50s where you can leave your car or your house unlocked. And, you know, there are a lot of fake gun signs out there. A lot of places, shopping centers and all that say, no guns. Most of the time, they're incorrect. They're just frauds. But if you feel intimidated, let's say you go to the courthouse. It is a no-gun area. You can leave your gun in your car, lock your car, and hide your gun. Just like you would want to hide jewelry or you would want to hide anything that's expensive. There are lots of places in a car to hide it. If you need to, just carry a heavy towel around. But hide it. Nobody's going to break into a car if they don't think anything valuable's in there because it causes a commotion. And they'd rather just open the doors. So remember to do that because we don't want the government to come in and start dictating penalties. I think it'd be unconstitutional anyway. But it's kind of ridiculous. Let's blame the criminal that does this and not the law-abiding citizen. But try to carry. If you don't want to carry, just leave it in your car. Keep it hidden so criminals will not see that. Now, another thing I wanted to tell everyone about here, we have got, if I have my glasses first, the ATF is still, you know, right now, bump fire stocks are classified as illegal machine guns. So don't call in and tell me if you have one. My advice is to destroy it, melt it. That's what I did. I got a propane torch and melted the four or whatever it was I had, which was, what, $500 up in smoke. But I melted it and I filmed them. You can also chop it up with a you know, skill saw or something like that. But it's pretty serious, and you know, I think it's unconstitutional act they committed, but just because I do doesn't mean a court's going to. You don't want to get trapped being charged with illegal possession of a machine gun. That is a federal felony in 10 years or $10,000. And I suspect the first few times they're going to you know, let people go lightly. But then again, they may grab somebody, make an example of them. You don't want to be the example in that case. So just go ahead and you know, get rid of them. They're fun. I think they were legal. A lot of reasons to have one, but you know, no point getting in trouble over the thing. And there are a lot of people. Now, listen, we talked about the NRA. There's some good, not the NRA isn't good, but I'm a member of the NRA, plus Gun Owners of America, plus the Second Amendment Foundation. And listen, I'm not, you know, my wife is here. The other ones cost $25 a year or something like that. Be a member of all of them because, you know, the NRA, something may happen to them. We need that help in Congress. You know, sometimes they're jerks. They act like kings. But we need them to be bothering our congressmen because we can't do it. And we got some more time here. If you want to, anybody wants to call us, our number is 251-343-0106. You can always email me at thejudge@armedalabama.com or Adam Strange at adam@armedalabama.com. And you can listen to, I tell you, I'm in the process. I've got a lot of firearms owner's manuals. And if I can get the absent webmaster to do anything about it, I'll post a lot of those. And if you want to drop me a line, you can put it on the Facebook comments or at the Judge at Armed Alabama. Say, how about putting a Remington 1100 manual up there or whatever your gun of choice is, because I've got a lot of those, and they're digitalized now, and we'll put them up so you can just download them, and that'd be a good thing, because everybody ought to have the manual at least to see how to field strip it, clean it, put it back together safely, because that's the key to all this. Do it safely. And let's see, one more to go. One thing I'm going to show everybody here, I've got the low recoil, if you're on Facebook, shotgun shells. There are a bunch of people make them. I think every ammunition manufacturer. This is Fiocchi. It looks like Fiocchi, F-I-O-C-C-H-I. I believe these are made in Arkansas. So they're a foreign company, but they make them here. Compared to the federal premium law enforcement, they are really a heavy shot. So we need to step into a break, folks, and give us a call after the break here at Armed Alabama.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Survival kit contents check. In them you'll find 145 caliber automatic, 2 boxes of ammunition, 4 days concentrated emergency rations, 1 drug issue containing antibiotics, morphine, vitamin pills, pep pills, sleeping pills, tranquilizer pills, 1 miniature combination Russian phrase book and Bible, $100 in rubles, $100 in gold, 9 packs of chewing gum, 1 issue of prophylactics, 3 lipsticks, 3 pair of nylon stockings.
Shoot, a fella could have a pretty good time in Vegas with all that stuff. Judge Rusty Johnston back with Armed Alabama. I had a question neglected to answer that was texted in about the Spanish Guards unit in Mobile during the war. And in the year or two prior to the war, there were a lot of, I hate to say, there were a lot of military groups set up in every city. Mobile had one called the Cadets, and they would train and drill and shoot. And I believe the Spanish Guard was... it was set up to be for descendants of Spanish residents of Mobile, but they didn't limit it to that. And it was a unit, and now whether they saw action, I just really don't know. But that was one of those groups that kind of gave us a jump off the north, because every city had a voluntary group in it, or a number of them. And they at least knew, you know, they were big on marching straight into other people's, you know, fire. So that was a big deal then. So they knew how to do that, which was great. But I assume they at least did some rifle training also. But they were still using the Napoleonic tactics, which they were using much better guns with rifle barrels that Napoleon's armies and his opposition didn't have. So a lot of people were getting killed. By the way, you know, Napoleon is generally viewed – well, first of all, he's viewed short person, short man's complex. He was a half an inch taller than Winston Churchill, which is kind of interesting. And he's viewed as a tyrant, et cetera. He was the general that artillery troops used to be chained to the artillery so they couldn't retreat. He did away with that. He also, when he invaded Spain, he ended the Spanish Inquisition. And so when you read about the Napoleonic Wars, most of those wars were the other countries in Europe attacking him, not him attacking the others. It's never good to have a dictator, but compare the French Bourbon kings were sure dictators. And, I think he really stopped the craziness of the revolution but kept the best of it going. And I notice they have never torn – they're not tearing down statues of Napoleon Bonaparte in Europe or France. Although I will say Josephine, his first wife, who was from Martinique, my wife and I saw a statue in 86 on the island. And about a year or two later, it was vandalized because Napoleon brought slavery back to Martinique in honor of his wife, I guess. Of course, he tried to bring it back, and the French government did to Haiti, and they had a heck of a heck of a war. But Napoleon's a complicated figure, and like most of the people, we judge people in the 1800s according to our standards here today, which is entirely wrong. I want to thank all of our advertisers here. Of course, McCoy Outdoor, we couldn't do it without them. I want to thank Hunter Security. Talk to them about either a burglar alarm or cameras or at least a doorbell camera. Go by and see Mike Ward's Liberty Safe. You ought to have some kind of safe to put a gun in. And air conditioning is getting hot, so see Hanson Heating and Air. Of course, if you get hurt, go see Steve Moore. He's a great lawyer and a good friend of mine. He can do a lot for you. And let's see who I've left off. Oh, Dr. Foster, if you can't get your back straightened out. And, you know, some things need a neurosurgeon. Some things need a chiropractor. And, of course, Creola Moffett Road in Spring Hill, Ace Hardware Stores. You can get everything you need for security, hinges, locks, all of that there. They're great folks, too. Hometown. They're not like some of the big places that kind of bother you when you go in there and they don't know what's even in the stores. So it's the place to go. In fact, Charlie Moss, our normal producer who's on vacation, good for him, he got a couple of the master door braces at the Spring Hill Ace Hardware. That's something everybody ought to have anyway, but you ought to have one if you go on a trip. If you don't know what it is, look up master door brace. It's about $22, I think. But you can brace it behind a door. Yeah, somebody with, the police with their battering ram is going to get through the door. But you're also going to be woken up. And, you know, most of the modern hotels have these electronic credit card keys that who knows who has has one of those keys. So another place you don't want to just go in and close the door. At a minimum, you want to use their deadbolt, but you want to lock yourself in there because, you know, there are a lot – I learned this from 18 years on the bench. There are a lot of crazy people out there. And I saw my fill, and I'm still trying to forget about them. So, you know – they may get an eye on you, and a lot of these people are predators, and they seek certain. Let's say you're somebody who likes to have too much to drink, but you're in your hotel, no problem. Those kind of people spot you, and they know you're more vulnerable when you've had 3 or 4 or 10 drinks or whatever. So they will take advantage of you. Try fighting somebody off after having 3 martinis. You know, I know there's some people that are violent drunks that can do that, but most people can be tricked very easily in a conversation and have all their goods stolen from them. Don't want to be sexist, but especially if you're a woman. Let's just face it, violent men tend to prey on women. And if you're a petite woman and you've had, you know, a few drinks, be very, very careful. If you really want to get an education, go down to circuit court one day. Just call one of the judges, ask when his criminal motion docket is, and watch for the morning and see the kind of things that happen. It will turn your stomach. Crime in general is down, but that ain't going to help you. That's like saying lightning strikes are down. If you get hit, you're still hurt or possibly dead. And listen, most crimes are not reported. We know that something like 8 out of 10 burglaries are not reported. Most thefts aren't reported. Yeah, people tend to report murders because you got to kind of explain a body or a missing person or something. But a lot of crimes aren't reported. So, and there's also, not saying this is Mobile, but nationwide, some agencies have a financial incentive to underreport or overreport crime, depending on what government program they're operating under. So be careful. You are responsible for your own protection. The government isn't legally at all. They'll try to help, but you know when you need help immediately, the police are minutes away, and you or a friend or family member are the first responder. There's no way a police car in the best of circumstances can get to you if you're being assaulted in a hotel room. I mean, 3 minutes, you're dead, and a police car is not going to get there in 3 minutes unless he's in the lobby. So remember that, and you can't sue them if they don't show up. So whether it be pepper spray, whether it be a firearm, whether it be a police baton, have something and protect yourself and be observant. You know, a cell phone is not a weapon. They're great to call people for help, but the help is going to be as far away as the people you call. You got to be observant, and most people walk around reading their smartphones all day, surfing, tweeting, whatever they're doing, unaware that the wolf is right behind them. So be safe when you're out there, especially if you go out at night. Mobile has a lot of great places, but crime tends to happen at night. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. with more of Armed Alabama, as we are every week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next Tuesday night.